Do you have any final words?
What you're doing isn't right. Somebody stop this, please. Killing me in the dead of night because you're ashamed.
You're wrong. I'm not ashamed.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 128, and we're back with The Walking Dead.
Yes, we are. Walking Dead is back and kind of alive.
Yeah. It was a questionable episode.
Wow.
But I'm still
that
excited.
That was an unintended editorial.
They were hitting the ground walking in that episode.
Exactly. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Well, how are you guys doing? You guys are at the beach now, huh?
We're at the beach and trying to avoid a hurricane that's coming to our house in Atlanta. So yeah. We thought it'd be good to go to the beach.
Another hurricane.
Yeah, we're hoping it shoots the needle right between you and us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Exactly.
Yeah. So we're at a North Carolina beach, and I think we're actually going to be spared. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're supposed to get some of it here, but hopefully it'll go by real fast.
I think it's passing our front yard right now in Atlanta, actually.
It could be. Could be. I saw some of your neighbors flying by earlier. Yeah,
there go my gnomes.
Your walker gnome?
Yeah, my walker gnome.
It's his precious piece. And how are you, Scotty?
I'm okay. Back at work, all that happy, crappy stuff.
Sounds exciting.
Well, we were glad to hang out with you this weekend, which was cool.
Yes, we did have a good time. Your kids are great, always a lot of fun. I love the way they gave me a hard time about my Yankees losing last night.
I've trained them well.
Yep, you have. I was getting shit from them even today.
Yes, it's one of the few times where I was like, sure, you can text Uncle Scott.
Your fingerprints were all over it. I knew that. But you know how you can drive a kid crazy when they're trying to get you on something like that?
How?
Is pretend you don't know what they're talking about. I had spent half the morning trying to convince them I didn't even know what sport they were talking about.
Don't let them get your goat.
Nope.
So what are you drinking right now?
What am I drinking? I am drinking a beer from your neck of the woods. It's from your favorite, Sweetwater. It is I think this is for Halloween. It's the 420 Strain G13 IPA.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's even got the fish on the front as if skeleton.
No way. That's cool.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's delicious.
What did you say it was? An IPA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called G13 IPA. Not sure what that means. They didn't give me an explanation here. Just a nice, it's a strong IPA, but it is, it's for, their stuff. It's really smooth.
It's so pretty the flavorful. Strain. That's weird. So yeah. It's like developed with like the, strain?
What's that?
Neil Gaiman strain.
I don't know. I think maybe it's like a zombie strain.
Developed with a CDC.
It's the 420 strain.
That's interesting. Okay. I had not heard of that one.
Yep. So it's out of Atlanta, as you know. But yeah, I like it. It's very tasty. When you get home, great, get you some.
Okay. All right.
It's good. How about you guys? What are you drinking?
We are drinking one from Salisbury Brewing Company, which I don't think you may not have had. The Old Stonehouse IPA.
No, I don't believe I've had that.
New Sarum Salisbury Brewing Company.
Nice.
Salisbury,
yeah,
North
Sarum,
Carolina.
Sarum, right?
Yes, Sarum. Sarum.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've had some of their beer. I don't think I've had that particular one. It's pretty good stuff.
It is.
It's good. It's a little weird.
How so, when you say weird?
I don't know. It's like a chocolate or something in it. Or I don't know what it is.
A chocolate?
It says citrus flavor and bittering black back end. But I don't know. It just has a little different taste to it at the beginning.
So it's a little bit more malty IPA?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's right.
So would you give it a thumbs up?
I would. I mean, I'd buy it again. Yeah.
I think it's very good. I think it's a good, clean IPA.
Good. Excellent. Good job, New Serum.
Tonight, we are talking about The Walking Dead, Season 9, Episode 1, A New Beginning.
Okay, so, Kim.
Yes.
What did you think of the episode?
I mean, I'm glad it's back on air. There was some good points to it. It was really slow. I don't think we needed an hour and a half or hour 20 minutes that they gave us. I think they could have consolidated a little bit of it. I really like the time jump. I'm glad that they just kind of got a bunch of that stuff out of the way. We didn't need to see. I'm super glad Maggie's had her baby, for God's sakes. And I'm glad that they're introducing new storylines. I'm really actually very interested to see what happens with Daryl and the sanctuary. I'm super glad that he's got lines now. And I think Father Gabriel is kick ass looking. So I'm kind of excited about that too.
But now the thing with Daryl's like pretty much over though with the sanctuary, isn't it? Isn't that what they discussed during that episode, is that he's out of there?
Yeah, but they say things. It doesn't mean he's out of there.
Okay.
Well, we don't know. That's what we got to find out.
Right. Okay. And who's going to take over?
I don't know.
Carol said she would just be a temporary.
Well, so I think we're going to have a little differing of opinions within the sanctuary coming up. So who knows what will settle off from that.
Yeah. And how long did they say it had been since the big fight with Negan? Was it a year and a half?
Year and a half. 18 months.
Yep. Okay.
So, Stu, what did you think of it?
You know, I wish I had gotten to see it a second time, because I think I would have been able to appreciate a little bit more detail out of the episode on a second viewing of this one. I honestly, I was a little disappointed at this being like the opening episode after everything had happened. And I felt like, this false security that they kind of kept portraying about everything was just getting a little, they were trying to show that there was like this optimism of this, society growing, but at the same time, it all seemed completely fake. And like they all knew that there was no security in what was happening. I mean, everything was like already falling apart, even though we're just introduced to this again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, maybe they're just rushing it along, because it did feel like it was just a filler episode into the next like big bad thing that was going to happen. I mean, I don't know that I want to watch like the next five episodes of this just like falling apart. You know, so I don't, but I feel like that's all it was setting up to be.
Right.
You know, we got to see some development of things of what's going on. I thought it was the ending was really surprising. And I know made Scott happy. Yep. During the whole episode, I don't know. I wasn't extremely excited about the things. I don't know. I had a lot of questions, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of questions as far as the decisions of what they were doing.
But yeah. What about you, Scott?
Well, full disclosure to everybody, we for the first time actually watched it all together.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first time.
I thought it was the first time we watched an episode together.
No.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So, you know, we had kind of discussed as we were going through the show, we were kind of of the same mind that things were kind of slow and I felt that there was this underlying pessimistic feel. I mean, they were showing things together, but they were showing more of the cracks underneath the surface than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's funny. When we stopped watching, we were all of that same opinion. But I kept seeing that other people were I talked to, like, Melissa at my work and a couple other people, and they all loved it, you know. So I was kind of like, I need to look further at this. So I actually, for one of the few times, I went and read reviews by people on it.
Okay.
And because I was having a hard time figuring out what it was that bothered me about the episode. And one reviewer put the words, I forgot to write the reviewer's name down, and I don't want to claim this is my idea, but I thought it really summed it up perfectly for me. is it felt very paint by numbers. It was just like a roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what bothered me about the episode. It just seemed like everybody had to chime in. We had to see everybody, you know, little cameos all over the place and stuff like that. And
there was no originality to what the writing was. It was just, just felt like, okay, well, this is what is supposed to happen.
And you know, and I mean, that's probably what they were trying to do in essence. I mean, they were rebooting, they were showing everybody where everybody is now. It got bad enough that it felt like it was a roll call. There just wasn't a whole lot of substance actually to the episode, really.
Yeah. Which was weird to start a season out that way.
Right, right. And it was boring. I mean, for me, I'm flat, simple. It was boring. And again, they really showed us that, yes, society has come together in certain places, but there's more underlying problems than positives going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so, you know, it wasn't a big episode for me. It wasn't great. And one thing also I'm a little bit concerned about is they're really focusing a lot on this Rick-Maggie dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those characters are going to be gone by half season.
Well, and yeah.
What are they going to be focusing on going forward?
But, I mean, I think that's the point. They're trying to build up that turmoil between the two of them.
So do they fight each other to the death?
Maybe.
Which is fine, but they also need... I know they're trying to set up Carol as being one of the leaders in this thing. And they gave Daryl some lines, which was kind of shocking in itself.
Which but he said in the after show, too, which I thought was hilarious. I was like, oh, man, see, they've been talking to Scott.
But, I mean, I just don't see Daryl carrying the show.
Yeah,
he's the guy that wants to be out in the field all the time. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be a leader to do this thing. And Carol's a good character and all, but Carol's, you know, she's displayed more antisocial tendencies than anything throughout the series.
Well, both of them have.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of runs, to me, a little strange that they would be the leaders of things.
But you know, I also don't like that they're pitting Maggie and Rick against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't seem natural to me. These are people who went through so much together in the previous
But we knew that
seasons.
Was coming, though. We knew that was coming.
No, I know, but it still doesn't feel right. They're like family, and why would she get so mad? I mean, yeah, he's made some decisions that are questionable, and so now she's trying to step up to the plate and be the leader that her people need, but I feel like she needs to be a little bit, I don't know.
Less angry?
Yeah, just not as combative with Rick. Like she's
She was, I mean, for the most prosperous place they have going, she was the most angry of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the episode. I mean, don't get me wrong, Daryl was never a happy camper, but Daryl just wants the hell out of there. You know, he wants to go on a camping trip again. But...
And during that conversation, it had just happened that she had had that fight with the drunk guy that Gregory had sicked on her. So, right. I mean, yeah, there was kind of an emotional side that was kind of stirred up because of that.
Yeah, but she was angry towards Rick last year, because remember, she was like... I guess it was Rick that said, I'm going to follow you someday. Right. And this time, in this episode, she said, now's the time.
Right.
Where it was like, damn, girl.
Yeah, she put her foot down this time.
Yeah.
And I think it did make sense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when the mother of Ken, Brett Butler, by the way, is looking pretty rough. But
yes.
when she confronted Maggie... And she pointed out, you know, pointedly to her that her son died getting stuff for Sanctuary. You know, that, I think, really hit home with Maggie. I think it was something that's been gnawing at Maggie throughout all this stuff. But it really hit home to her that she needed to do something about it because her people were losing faith in her because of that. And so I think that's why she really cracked down on Rick. I got it. Don't get me wrong. I got it. It's just not the Maggie I like to see.
Same. And it also made me wonder, how long ago were the elections? It sounded like it was
pretty recent.
It didn't sound like it was that far off. Mm. But people were already questioning their votes. So I'm just wondering, I'm left wondering, like, what has happened in the meantime that has left people not trusting Maggie as much? And honestly, we've only seen two people, and that's Ken's parents, who really have expressed that. And
it was because Gregory was running around behind the scenes telling everybody what a bad job Maggie's doing.
Yeah. And they're alluding to the fact that nothing's going right with the sanctuary, and that they're having to, you know, give up all their food and stuff to the sanctuary to keep them going.
And you wonder how much they really know about how bad things are at the sanctuary. You know, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of real good communication either. I mean, you know, when Rick has to say, "Hey, Maggie, why don't you come and see Alexandria? Judith misses you." It's
that
obvious
was a little weird.
They're not getting together. I mean, why would that happen? I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick could bring Judith to Hilltop or something. You know, I mean, these sounds like these communities do not have a ton of communication.
Right. And I think that's where the thing that Michonne wants to do is really going to be an important thing to get these communities on the same page and interacting with each other. Because if they remain separated and divided like they are, they're never going to work together.
Right. She's trying to bring the commonality between the three. To show them as a one community.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is right. You're exactly right.
The sanctuary people they're kind of a powder keg right now, which I don't understand how they would actually get into the fold of this whole organization, because these guys are a bunch of foot soldiers and stuff. I don't see them like actually being the ones that are growing the crops and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
I wasn't quite understanding why... if things weren't working at the sanctuary, why were the people at the sanctuary not helping?
Thank you.
Hilltop and so forth with building things and doing stuff like that. I mean, why was that not a situation that would happen? Because to me, that seems pretty natural.
And that's why they laid that whole plot line of rebuilding the bridge. Because they're they don't have a thing to do. They need to have something to do to keep
But I can't understand why that wouldn't have already happened. That's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, it seems like that would have been an easy, natural progression from last season. You know, they let them live, so they're going to pay people back by helping them be the labor if they don't have the supplies.
Yeah. Right, right.
But that evidently didn't happen for whatever reason.
And for a year and a half, I don't see these people not doing anything.
And if the sanctuary is truly failing, they should have divvied up the people inside the sanctuary and let some of them go to Alexandria and Hilltop and all the others.
I said that while we were watching. I said, why not take some of these people to Alexandria? There were plenty of houses.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Hilltop nor Alexandria trust any of the people that are in the sanctuary. Which, if you're not going to trust them, how are you going to have a agreement?
And as we've seen, there is some reason not to trust them. There's you know, they did have a ton of scoundrels in there, too. Even though they had a ton of worker bees that were good people, probably, and so forth. But they had some pretty scoundrelly people in there, too.
Yeah, but if they were to divide them up like that, there would be no way for those people to come together and form, like, this little mini Negan...
Right.
Whatever it is that they're doing.
Under Daryl.
Yeah, and they could keep an eye on these guys and maybe actually turn them one by one. But they lost that opportunity. So now the guys are bored... They're not doing anything. The crops are failing. The scarecrow, that was a pretty funny one. And even that, Daryl was like, yeah, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, I didn't quite even understand that, to tell you the truth.
Because
I don't know why that wouldn't be a good
idea. Because they were torturing the walker. Yeah.
Well, they're not even torturing. They just had a live walker they were tying. I mean, the thing could get loose.
Well, that too.
It sure would make a great scarecrow. It'd be one useful thing a walker can do.
Yeah. But... when people get idle like that, especially people who have so much pent-up anger, that's when things go south very, very fast.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And people are still mad about Negan.
When you have a dictator in place, a person that's authoritarian, and then you undo that, the people that have been...
They've taken the basement out from underneath them.
Yeah, when there is a group of people who have had a boot on their neck the entire time, they're going to try and fight for their own freedom. So, yeah, I mean, that's why...
Or if things start going bad, they're going to look to who to turn to for that.
Yes, exactly, which Daryl actually does fit within that, you know, where he can tell them what to do and just be... And really not say anything. They're like, okay, I'm not going to mess with Daryl.
Right.
He was eating a squirrel over in the corner over there. I'm not going to ask him for anything.
He was filing his nails on someone's head.
He was actually using Lucille to pick his teeth.
Do you think Carol's going to be an effective leader there?
No.
I don't either.
No, I don't think so.
She's too mousy.
Although she is kind of scary in her own right.
No, she, I mean, I don't see Carol, I disagree with you on that, Kim. I don't see Carol as being mousy. I just see Carol as being such a loner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. That she would be ineffective. It doesn't seem like people would be drawn to Carol.
That would be Daryl too.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, Carol right. is, she has her apron of womanhood that she puts on, but really, like, inside, she's, like, kind of evil.
Not evil.
She's a little evil.
She's not evil.
She's a little evil.
She's kind of dark.
She's dark, she's not evil.
She's dark in an evil way.
No.
Look at the flowers, Kim.
No, that was a necessity. No.
Try my lasagna. Don't try the lasagna.
No.
Don't
even go near
don't,
it.
Don't.
Carol does what she Stay needs to do. To make people survive.
If I was trick-or-treating at her house, I would be scared there's a razor in the apple. That's all I'm saying.
But you do have me thinking about lasagna now. Damn it.
Y'all, speaking of which.
We'll carry on while you go get something to eat. Go get a nosh.
I'll be back in a minute. I'll do it during our first break. How about that?
Okay.
Just make a quick lasagna. What are you, Garfield?
I'm going to go over to Carol's house. I'm a little nervous, though.
So what do you guys think about them going to the Museum of Natural History in D.C.?
Well, I mean, I thought it was cool that they went into D.C. Mm-hmm. And based on how things have been problematic for them when they've gone into metropolitan areas, I wasn't surprised to find out they weren't staying in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And once we figured out, you know, what the deal was with finding the old tools and stuff like that, then that made sense. Even though I do really think, though, they probably could have gone to the Library of Congress and found plans for all that stuff. They wouldn't need to bring a wagon with them or a canoe or any of that stuff, because they could have just gone to they could have gone to Dick's Sporting Goods and got a canoe.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, actually, when they were getting some of the metal implements, and they were talking about how they had, like, a blacksmith that could make it based on what they had. I mean, they had plans for a lot of stuff. I don't know what they had plans for specifically. Well, but not only
that, why would you need to? There's farmland all over the place. I can't imagine there's not farm articles.
Yes, yeah. Implements, yeah. Yeah, farm implements. Yeah, totally. But them getting the metal stuff, the metal work would take forever. Making a wagon... Probably not take that long.
No. But they had already shown that they could. They already made one out of a car.
Yes, they did. They rode a wagon there to go get a wagon.
Yes. It was cool to see the library. It was neat to have that.
The seed library?
Yeah, the seed library. And the museum itself. It was kind of cool to go there and stuff like that. When we were watching it, I was thinking it was a little silly with the glass floor. It wasn't until the second time around that I watched it that I realized that the glass floor had already started cracking before. When the walker fell from the third floor, it actually smashed the floor some.
Yeah.
So that made a little bit more sense to me, even though I did keep thinking to myself, why are they walking straight across the floor when they could go to the right or left of the steps and be off the floor?
Yep.
Instead, they pick up a canoe and carry it across the already cracking floor.
But my question is, why is it cracking? It's been there for how long, and it's had to withstand
because it's had
hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, but it had concrete statues and so forth fall on it from the third floor up there, which had caused the cracking to start.
Well, what the odd thing was that they made it seem like the glass cracking was why the floor was falling apart. And that's not necessarily why the floor would be falling apart. It would be the I-beam structure underneath is caving in, right? Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, it could be the glass itself cracking. Because it is, but you know that
whole,
is...
They had like a whole waffle structure underneath that was I-beams that was holding that whole thing up, so...
Sure, yeah, no doubt. But it was one big piece of glass, because, I mean, that was the actual floor that they were working on.
I don't think it was all one piece of glass.
Well, the only thing is, Stu, is that they made that scene on the actual museum floor.
I know.
That it's depicting.
I know. So that's not how they would make it, though.
Well, they did. Nevertheless, who cares how it's made? Whatever. I think the idea of it was really cool.
Uh-huh.
The idea that there is a glass floor. It's kind of like, you know, the glass
thing that goes out over the Grand Canyon, and you walk out on it, and you can see straight down into the
abyss. No, I don't know about that, because I never would have done that
thing. Well, exactly. So, but the idea is cool to think mm-hmm. that you're going to walk out on this thing, and, like, your life is, like, hanging in the danger right now, and the only thing that's separating you from death is this thin sheet of glass.
Hanging in the danger.
The danger zone is what I meant to say.
Saga.
So that idea was cool. I like the way they did that.
Here's the problem I have with it. Because I honestly did not realize that they were, like, trying to hold... Everybody had safety ropes when they were going across the glass. If the glass floor was that fragile, then don't wheel a massive wagon across that you could probably build.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's where I find it ridiculous, that they were trying to get such large objects out over that glass when they knew it was that unsafe. That
or
they
had why not take ropes. The wagon last? Get the other stuff, the lighter stuff out of there first.
Sure.
The plow and stuff like that. Then drag your wagon across.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But you why didn't, do you have but, a king of an entire group who's the one who's, like, carrying the last thing across?
That's a good point, too.
Well, not only that, all the leaders from the different places were together on this run.
In one spot.
I know.
I mean, I didn't bring that up, but that's, you know, I thought that was kind of a little Star Trek-y.
My grandpa actually builds wagons that are very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't anymore because he's like 92 years old, but he used to.
Yes.
And it would only take him a couple of months once he got all the materials together. And he would scavenge bench seats from old school buses so that they would have the spring in them and they would be comfy on his butt. And, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy for him to build. They could totally do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised that, I mean, I know Alexandria and that area and so forth. It's all farms out there. I mean, I can't imagine it's that hard to find farming implements.
Is Alexandria really? Because I feel like a lot of people I know who live in D.C. or who work in D.C. live in Alexandria.
Right. It's the metro. It's the suburbs outside of Washington, D.C. And right outside of the suburbs is farmland.
Okay. I'm going to trust you on this one. Because
have you not been there?
Yes, I've been there. That's why I'm asking, because I don't believe you.
Okay. Well.
We were there for the elections a few years ago. It was Alexandria.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep.
And it was nothing
but... Well, no, that's Washington, D.C., but...
No. We stayed in Alexandria.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
It's a suburb.
And took the train in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had to... Exactly. I think we had to get off at the sanctuary. There was a Dunkin' Donuts there.
The glass floor.
Yeah. Place is awesome.
Anyways, nonetheless, another interesting thing that I realized when they were at the seed depot was that Jadis is going by her real name, Anne, now.
Right.
And has totally changed her hair.
She's just a regular person.
Yep. No craziness anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks
she's relying upon her information as a teacher.
As a teacher.
As a former teacher.
That's
now,
right.
Of course, it makes you wonder what made her so wackadoodle when she got amongst the trash.
Exactly.
But, you know, maybe we'll find out more about that. I mean, we still got so many questions about her with the helicopter and her beautiful mobile unit she had she was living in, you know, amongst the trash.
So many
which,
questions.
Which, you know, what we did not talk about is they have the new opening for the show. And the there was a helicopter in the opening, right?
Yes. So that storyline is still somewhere out there.
Mm-hmm. And the noose on the building that they were making.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That
yep.
found Gregory somehow.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, So, speaking of that new intro was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked it too. I was a little skeptical when I first heard about it, but it was kind of like a comic book-ish feel to it. I thought
it
was
also
really cool.
Had more of the Dawn of the Dead feel to it too.
It did. And there was somebody else that it reminded me of. Salem. I thought it had
the show Salem. I've never seen it.
The TV show Salem.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
That was on like Fox or something. It had that type of feel to it. So I wonder if whoever that person was had a hand in this.
Yeah, I was actually thinking kind of the stop motion silhouette animation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
But it did. It fit more of the Walking Dead comic book. I think that was the whole purpose. And I really, actually, the best part I thought was when they show the motorcycle. with all the
vines growing,
the vines grew all over it. That was cool.
I actually even liked the tree. I mean, because the tree, you see it with the stained glass windows there, and then all of a sudden it pops up with all the leaves pop out on it, and then the birds fly away.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty. Kinda neat.
Which is showing there, that's the start of their new beginning.
Yep. Yep.
It's funny that you say it has the comic book feel. It's almost as if they're trying to force the comic book into our heads, even though they have changed the storyline so incredibly much with the killing off of Carl and now Rick. So it's like,
but it sounds like they're pulling themselves back to the comic books, though, in the respect of bringing the Whisperers into the fold. So, I think part of that, Kim, I think you're right, but I think it's more that they would want to bring more of a comic book feel of it to bring back the comic book fans.
Well, they need to do something because their ratings drop by like half.
Well, I think what they need to do is bring it back to the comic book feel because, or the comic book storyline, to get it away from kind of the TV drama feel that it's kind of moving towards. You know, I mean, there's like way too much drama, relationship stuff going on.
I really honestly think that they're not going to be able to carry this on after Rick and Maggie leave. I think it'll struggle on for another year or two, but it's not going to be what it was.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They just don't have solid enough characters and the rest of them to be able to carry that on.
And I hope that they surprise you.
I mean, yeah. I hope they surprise us too, but I'm a little nervous about it. So a couple of other things I wanted to point out from the museum was the spider walker.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was a really cool one. I was not happy with the CGI, as always. It was really lame.
But come on, it was still freaky.
Especially the little spiders all over the floor.
Yes, and they're like getting on him and they're still knocking him off him once he actually gets out from under the tarp.
Yes, but there was the one scene where the walker is shown, the face is shown, and you see the mama spider on one side of the face, and then all the babies are on the other part of the face, and that was not good.
Oh, come on. I didn't even think about that detail.
I didn't.
The thing I was thinking about was when they're knocking the other spiders off him, I was thinking, like, what, did the spiders do something else to you? like, if you get bit by the spiders, I'd be freaking out, too.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm the spider killer in the house. But if I have a bunch of spiders climbing all over me, I'm going to have a little problem.
I hate spiders.
I mean, I'm the one who's like, don't kill the spiders because they're going to kill all the bugs in the house. So I love spiders and I leave them alone.
But if they're near me or if there's like one like in the corner of the shower and I'm sitting there taking a shower, I'm always like, got my eye on it. Like, it's not going to like jump on me, is it?
Jump on your face.
Like, I like what you do, but leave me alone.
But do it in the quiet so I don't have to see it.
That was funny what Nicotero was saying on The Talking Dead afterwards about how when they came up with that storyline, they had to hide everything from him, all the visuals,
because
he's scared to death of spiders.
Okay, yeah, I'm not that bad.
Like, really? Greg Nicotero is scared of something? Especially a spider?
Yes.
That was awesome. That was funny. So that actually made that scene a little bit better for me. I also liked
that it happened to Sadig. So we get to see a little bit of humor from out of Sadiq's character.
Yeah, that's true.
Agreed. And then the evolution of man was hilarious.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, I did like that. That was great. Yes.
Because there's actually a T-shirt out that has the exact same image on it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of the de-evolution.
They probably got it from the T-shirt.
Probably.
I was surprised that Gabriel was able to all of a sudden like fight that guy off, though. Like, I thought his sight was like completely gone when we moved into this. So it was actually kind of cool, like, okay. So he's
still got one eye.
It's actually kind of funny because now that his sight is gone from that one eye, he all of a sudden has the bravery to do something like that. Whereas before, that's kind of why he lost his eyesight.
He was, you know, by the end of last season, he got pretty badass. He wasn't, you know, he was not playing around.
So I'm happy to see, it's like, the evolution of Father Gabriel going from being super scared to now being this brave, kicking ass, doing whatever he needs to do to survive.
Yep.
So that's cool.
The show has got a lot of characters right now.
It sure does.
Well, that's why it's good they started killing some off right away.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope they don't feel obligated that they have to develop every character going forward. I mean, I don't think we need to do a whole lot of development with Father Gabriel's character. Let's just let him kind of be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's let Sadiq be who he is.
Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that.
You know, what's the girl's name who was at the sanctuary who's been helping Daryl, the blonde girl that was one of Negan's people?
Right.
Yep, I like her where she is on this show. I don't think we need to mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't worry about overdeveloping all this other stuff. You got too many cast members. Let those people kind of be in the background. It's kind of like what we were saying with Fear and Wendell and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, let them just be what they are. You don't have to overdevelop it.
I think Scott was actually saying that. I think you were saying that. Yeah, I think you were the one saying that. Yeah, you were the ones.
But
no, but I agree with you on that. There's like, coming back to The Walking Dead, it's like, wow. I mean, you do have three completely different societies.
Four, if you include Oceanside.
Oh, yep. Well, I'm not going to include Oceanside. They're trying to now. Because they mention it again in this episode. They did. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's too much Game of Thrones right now. You get too many different societies going on, and you know, I think that's magnified when Maggie makes that comment of like how she hasn't really talked to them.
Yeah.
You know, in Alexandria, it's like, what the hell? Like, I thought these people were all together now, and they were all, you know,
or
like,
Daryl never seeing Carol.
Yeah, right.
You know,
that's true.
They didn't run into each other.
So, I mean, that was very purposeful that they were making that known that these people are very separated right now.
Right.
And Daryl, you know, Daryl's wanting to get back and get away from, I mean, can you imagine, like, you're hanging out with all these like dirtbags that just got freed and you're trying to he obviously was not happy with dealing with any of those people, so he wants to get the hell out of there. But
well, not
the
only
hell
that,
wants
so much
to be there
to deal with too.
I mean,
he is a bolt of joy.
I thought it was interesting that he said he's like, yeah, I don't want to go back with you, but I want to go, you know, see how Maggie's doing.
But the cool thing is King Ezekiel and Carol have gotten really close. They were not
very
close.
Daryl seemed jealous about, actually.
I know. There's been a couple of times few seasons when they've both been jealous of each other. But
but I don't care about that.
Well, I mean, there was definitely a time when people were shipping those two.
Yeah.
So when King Ezekiel proposed to Carol, that was just very sweet, didn't you think?
Can Carol just not say yes to something?
Yeah, Carol's annoying in that sense. Like, really, I mean,
come on.
I kind of agree with you. I understand where she's coming from, though. Because, like we've said, she wants to be alone. But she also wants...
But then she turns around and she wants to move in and take over Sanctuary.
No, that's different. That's totally different. She's doing that to help out a friend. She's lost so many love interests throughout this show's history. That if she feels like if she starts to fall for King Ezekiel to the point where they're getting married, that something bad is going to happen to him.
Yeah, but she makes it seem like, well, he's not doing enough in a way.
Well, what is?
Well,
has she lost?
Tobin.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well,
her husband. Her real husband.
Yeah. Well, she didn't want him anyway.
Yeah, I know. So. There was another guy.
No sense lost there.
Was there?
Yeah, there was another.
I don't think so.
No, there was.
Oh, there was that wolf guy with the bad teeth that she really liked?
No.
Yeah, that guy.
He didn't have bad teeth. He just ate a bunch of her chocolate chip cookies and then chocolate chip.
But even without the love interest, what's her face? Look at the flowers, girl. That was a huge thing for her. Yeah. That was a huge impact. And then even... oh my God, what is his name? The big guy. No, the big guy that was with her during the Grove episode.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry.
No.
No, the guy with the stocking cap.
Yes. Ah! It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway.
Sure it wasn't Jerry.
She's lost.
He loved her cobbler.
Will you stop it, please? She's lost people that are very close to her.
Mm-hmm.
You people annoy the crap out of me.
But she's also spent so much time alienating people.
She has.
Yeah, but
it's
that's
ridiculous.
The same thing Morgan has done.
It's getting
it's
old.
It's the exact same thing. I'm not saying it's not getting
old,
but you
she's
have to
let herself
who
get
she
so
is.
Close to this guy, and then she's like, Oh, but the ring thing. Yeah, I'm not doing it. Which, I mean, I can understand.
Listeners, I want you to understand that these two men here sitting with me are aggravating as shit.
Exactly. That's why they listen.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys have no love bone in you whatsoever.
Oh, yeah?
You tell them, girl. You go, girl. Jesus.
I'm just saying.
I'm not even going to say anything.
Please don't. You have to understand where she's coming from as a woman.
Yeah, and we're telling you from the standpoint of a guy. Ezekiel asks her to marry him, and she rejects him. So I'm saying, hey, give the guy a break. Just say mm-hmm. yes and get married to him. You're going to do that in the end anyway.
You know, his reaction is perfect, though, which he's just mm-hmm. laughing about it. He understands she's just going to keep saying no, 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 and he's just going to keep trying, which I think is great. I thought that was awesome.
Yes,
his character is awesome, yep. I think.
Mm-hmm.
For all its ridiculousness of being still the actor.
Yeah.
And
right.
Jerry, where are our steeds? You know, that kind of stupid shit.
You know, I did see one thing that I felt was a sad missed opportunity to actually make Daryl show a sense of humor. When he was talking about does he snore all formal or something?
Mm.
When he was talking about King Ezekiel sleeping. Why did they not have Daryl laugh at that point?
Yeah. Yeah.
He still kept the grumpy face.
Yeah.
Even though Carol somewhat. Made a joke of it or something. But Jesus Christ, man, let the guy lighten up a little bit. I would have loved to have seen him give out a laugh.
You know, if this guy's a hard-ass redneck, that's at some point he's just going to be teasing, sarcastic, and with the people he can, you know?
Yeah,
with the
but
people
they would still laugh at it.
Open up to, he's gonna be kind of a jerk and laugh about stuff.
Or show somebody falling down the stairs and show him laughing at that. Whatever.
Yes.
Let's see right. a sense of humor on this guy once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
God, he's got like a corn cob shoved up his ass all the time.
Yes.
Could be. If you've ever had a corn cob shoved up your ass, you know how painful that can be.
Well,
tell us all
learned,
about it, Scott.
Learned something new about Scott.
Mm. I know. Mm.
All right.
On that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back to talk some more about the season premiere.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me. No matter where you are. No matter how far.
All right, everybody, we're back. How about Rick and his former gang? He's got some strained relationships with several of those folks. We got his relationship with Maggie. We got his relationship with Daryl.
And he's still in control of all of this. Like, he's still the one that's going around, like, trying to hem it together mm-hmm. somewhat.
Right.
So... That's confusing, and that, I think that's what Maggie was pointing out to him as well.
Yeah, and he's holding it together with tissue paper.
Yep.
Do you think? Well, I mean, I don't see this group coming back together.
You mean our core group?
Yes, the core group.
Yeah.
No,
because
either.
It would be hard to develop the story that way, unless it turns out later on that they do have to get back together to deal with the Whispers.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that Rick. Is going to be gone by then.
Yes, but you could see that Daryl was definitely felt that it was like important thing for them to get back to. He was like, screw all these other people. Like, it was so much better when it was
we
just
were best
the few
when
of us.
We were just our small group.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's still his kind of core value to get back to that as well. So him getting away from the sanctuary, who knows what this conflict with the Whispers is going to bring about, but I have a feeling that a lot of people are probably going to... it's still weird to me that this whole Whispers thing is even brought up. Like, mm-hmm. It's not even hinted at in the storyline, and yet they're talking about it outside of the show.
Right.
Well,
you know,
don't worry about it then.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it's all around the show, and all these people are talking about it, and they're talking about it on Twitter, and they're talking about the after show.
Oh, hell, Greg Nicotera is wearing a Whispers t-shirt to the Talking Dead show.
So it's like... I mean,
Well, we know that's coming down. Yes. I don't know, though. I don't know if... I mean, do you think the Whispers thing has anything to do with what's going to happen to Rick and Maggie?
I mean,
or is it going to be the internal struggles that the communities are having that will be their undoing?
I mean, who knows at this point? I think it's going to be more of an internal thing. I feel like something's going to happen with the three or four groups that we have at this moment where it's going to be like a civil war almost.
I think something's going to happen. Something's going to happen with the Sanctuary people more than anything. Hilltop and Alexandria people wouldn't have done anything with Negan's group. Anyways.
Yeah, but if Negan gets out and does something, they're going to blame the hell out of Rick and possibly retaliate against him.
Which I think was one of Scott's favorite parts of this, is that they kept Negan and Gregory alive this entire time.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Those are the two dumbest plot lines in this thing. There is no way Negan would have survived this thing. And there's no way that Maggie's allowing Gregory to be running around behind the scenes doing this crap.
Yep.
That one is the most unbelievable. I mean, Gregory should have been gone two seasons ago.
And the main wedge between Maggie and Rick right now is the fact that they kept Negan alive. And what the hell for?
I mean, things were bad enough for Maggie that she threw Gregory in the pen with the Sanctuary people.
No, what I'm saying is, why would Rick keep Negan alive if that is what is keeping him separated from Maggie?
Because he's trying to be that guy.
Yeah, he's also trying to be that guy that is giving hope to the people in the Sanctuary still follow Negan. So
as far as a control standpoint,
it's a bad move.
I know how they're trying to sell it, that he's trying to be that guy that Carl wanted, but it really, in practicality, makes no sense at all.
No.
I agree.
You know, not unless you were planning on parading Negan out every once in a while so people can see he's still in jail. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
And when he sliced him through the throat with that piece of glass, it wasn't like he was trying to shave him.
No. I mean, he should have. I know, really. I mean, he's not that talented that he could gauge on hurting him as compared to killing him.
Well, but that's where Maggie's strengths come through. She had the nerve to hang Gregory. The way she did it might not have been all that great, especially when the kids saw it, but she did it, and she got rid of her problem.
Right. And it was definitely a message to Rick also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is how you deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
She should have done that last season.
Exactly. I mean, when he got thrown in the pen and he was caught conspiring against them and all that kind of stuff with Negan, no way he should have been allowed to come back. Mm-hmm. No way. He was caught with Negan conspiring. Why would you have him come back? They didn't let the other lieutenants come back.
Yeah, he was wandering around Hilltop still whispering in people's ears.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell for? Why?
It made no sense.
I agree.
I mean, shit, you also not only that, let me go a little bit further. If Maggie didn't have the satisfaction of killing Negan, she sure as shit would have taken the satisfaction of killing him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially after the stunt he pulled in this episode, where he got Ken's parents on his side and got Ken's dad to practically beat her up with her kid right there in a stroller and knocks the stroller over and the kid could have gotten hurt.
I still don't buy the fact that that guy was able to... Gregory was able to convince him that he needed to dress up in a hooded sweatshirt and go out there and beat the crap out of...
Well, for one thing, he's a grieving parent who doesn't really like her in the first place, and he's drunk as a skunk.
Yes, but I mean, he was arguing before, when Gregory sat him down, he was arguing like, no, she's our leader.
She's in charge. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he was reluctantly saying that.
He's reluctantly saying that, but there's still part of him that still is like, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. And then all of a sudden he's going to go out in the dark and beat the crap out of her while she's wheeling her baby in a stroller? I mean,
come on. I thought it was good that Maggie didn't take it out on him either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's true.
That's a sign of a good leader. She knew where it came from.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean, you know, I was talking about it during the off season about the fact I didn't see why Gregory was still around at all. Mm-hmm. Or Negan, for that matter. I don't get the idea why you would keep something like that around. It doesn't help you in any way.
Yeah, there's no advantage to having him around. What's he adding?
Hand him over to Daryl, let Daryl take him out in the woods and kill him. God. I mean, seriously, Daryl would ruthless. Do it. No. Really?
Okay, well, Negan? Okay, well then you okay, give one reason why you keep Negan around.
Oh, I have no reason. I have no reason at all. He should have been dead. He should have died on that battlefield. Mm-hmm. They uh-huh. shouldn't have saved him.
Right. Right, exactly. But if you, you know, but so you made that mistake, now just get rid of him. Quietly but, I mean, go.
Okay, now you don't believe that he should be around, Scott. Do you have any reasoning why Rick is keeping him around?
Well, we're supposed to be, we're led to believe it's because he was honoring Carl. And he wants, you know, supposedly he wants Negan to see him fix the world.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. You know, rub it in his face. You know, you have to live and watch this, but that's bullshit. That's bullshit. That guy stands. That guy
for him to is more of a
danger.
Notice.
Yeah, that guy is more of a danger of being a, you know, a leader again than anything. You wouldn't allow that to happen. Nobody does that. Hell, you even in today's societies, when these in these dictatorships and stuff like that, they kill the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They don't keep them around. They don't put them in jail to make them watch.
Because it gives hope to the people that used to follow.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it wasn't a situation where he would have died a martyr. He had led his people into a bad situation. They knew it, so it wasn't like he was going to die in any kind of martyr position.
Yep. I agree.
So, yeah, I got an issue.
I still also have one more question from last episode, the finale of last season.
Yes.
And that is, whatever happened to the big herd that they saw at the end? Because we were led to believe that was going to be a big thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still out there. Because, I mean, they talked about the fact that that herd, two of the herds had merged and destroyed that bridge.
Right.
So they're still out there. They're just avoiding them.
That's just a little question I had.
Well,
something
okay.
I've been wondering because of the whispers coming.
With the last episode of season 8. Yeah, they made it look like, okay, we need to stop fighting each other because we got that. And that's what Rick said. We got that uh-huh. to fight. And it was like
right.
thousands of walkers coming at him. So it's been a year and a half.
Right.
So they never dealt with that, I guess.
No, I think they have been. I think what they were saying is they've constantly been dealing with it. When you have these multiple routes, a lot of these routes were being utilized. Different routes were being utilized because of these walker herds.
Well, the buildup of that, the idea is that they would have to deal with that as a massive
right.
herd.
But you heard Maggie saying, they were talking about you could go this back route, and she goes, it took them 3 weeks to get it open that last time it got shut down by a herd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, good observation.
So they've been dealing with it. They've been dealing with it themselves. I guess they just know that they're not going to be able to completely destroy the herd.
Okay. Cool.
So
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering.
So, anyway.
Stop agreeing with him.
So, the whole episode ends up with finally Gregory getting dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And thank I don't God. Think anybody would have any issue with that at all.
No, the only problem that I had an issue with how they filmed it was that they were more intent on, or I guess they put more emphasis on the kids getting out of there and not seeing what right. was happening. Than they did on Gregory actually being killed.
Yes.
Right.
They deflected.
Right. Yes. And so it was like, okay, Gregory's dead. And so there wasn't any real buildup to it, which I guess was a little odd to me with his character.
It was odd.
Well, it was almost like they were correcting something that should have been dealt with
yeah.
a while back and yeah. they knew it.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it was just something that just needed to happen. They're like, okay, it's done. Move on. Yep. Next. Yep.
Yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic, but whatever. I'm glad he's gone. I do not miss him at all.
No.
Story won't miss him.
Sorry, Xander.
Yeah.
But your character had to go.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've covered everything. Why don't we delve into hit or miss?
Okay. Is it okay if I go first?
Of course.
I think we're
I mean,
we're
I was
quietly awaiting
go,
your
of course,
your
if
assessment.
You want to go first, then that's fine.
So for my hit, it's a broad-reaching hit, And that is that I'm really happy to see that we have jumped ahead in time and that we've seen the different groups kind of become independent of each other and have developed their own ways of survival. I also really liked that Daryl actually mentions that pretty soon it's going to take a whole day to travel between one group to another because of the gasoline shortage, and that we're seeing them utilize horses more and the old ways of life more, as opposed to modern conveniences, which probably should have been on their way out.
Getting a little bit more towards the Wild West.
A long time ago. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just getting it back to the basics.
And you know, they spent a lot of time showing us in the background that things have really deteriorated a lot. I mean, even when you saw it, when you would see a car, you'd see like a tree growing out of the car and stuff like that because it had been sitting there so long.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I thought it was good that they did that too.
Yeah. Stuart?
Yeah. Stuart, how about a hit?
My hit is the fact that Daryl does get to talk more and seems to have a little bit more to offer to the whole troop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And storyline now.
Well, and he knows words. We didn't know that.
Yes. For a long time, we forgot he did know words.
Poor Daryl.
And he's actually, I mean, the only weird thing is that he's put in some sort of leadership position, which Daryl has never really led anybody. Other than one person at a time, so
he's been the get to it guy. Yeah, no doubt. He's been the henchman.
I enjoy that he's back with us a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But I enjoy him in that henchman position. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see him more than that. You know, he's the dude that will go get things done for you.
They're only hinting that he actually was doing anything,
right?
And now he's already trying to get out of it,
right?
So.
Sounds like actually a natural progression for Daryl.
He needs to get rid of that shirt with the big A on it, though.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right,
no
what doubt. About you, Scott?
Well, you know, I of course, we talked about it. I loved the opening montage. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
The evolution of man gimmick was great. But the one I really loved was the museum worker walker.
Whose
hands came over the table and was breaking off the nails as they were reaching and all. I thought that was the best walker I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
Wasn't he a tribute walker?
I don't know.
There was another tribute walker. Gosh.
I thought it was a she, actually.
It was a she. Yeah.
It was a she?
Yeah, it was like a librarian.
Exactly.
Or
that's
like that.
What I thought. She was like the desk person, but it was like a librarian.
But I just thought those hands coming over were so... Night of the Living Dead, so or 28 Days Later or something. I mean, it was just really creepy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was my huge hit for the episode. I really thought that visual was fantastic.
Cool.
How about a miss?
My miss is just how slow it went. It was just not premiere material.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
it
kind of was. I'm glad they wrapped up the Gregory storyline and they introduced some more things that were going on.
It felt like you needed to be hit with something big.
Yeah.
And nothing really big happened. All that much. Or maybe the museum part was supposed to be the big part where they're escaping out of there. And
I think the big part was supposed to be us seeing Washington, D.C. I think that was what we were expected to think was the big thing. But
yeah,
I thought that was cool, actually, especially when they panned out and they show you the mall. Yeah. But right. I was wanting more from a D.C. scene.
Right.
You know, like, show me more walkers. Show it overrun with a herd or something.
Or go into the Capitol.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Missing that oomph.
Whatever. Hey, if you want to get a new charter, then go get the original charter.
There you go. That would have been cool.
Go pick it up and bring it back with you.
Like an Indiana Jones type thing.
Yeah.
Jumping over dead bodies, snakes coming out, whatever.
Find the Constitution.
That would have been cool.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, I know what you're saying. Stu, how about you?
My miss might not necessarily be the show, but like their discussion in the after show. When they're talking about how it is much more cowboy, western kind of thing. And I really wasn't getting that watching the show at all. Like, yes, they're horses.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, so it wasn't wasn't really that over the top for me, and they really were trying to drive that home as like that was like, you know, the big change that was happening this season,
right?
And so I don't know, that didn't really sell it for me.
Well, I think I think it kind of introduced it a little bit, but it's got the communities aren't quite frontier enough to say that yet,
right?
To have that. I mean, there was a show that was on NBC. I think it only made it through one season called, I believe it was called Revolution.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which definitely had much more of that feel.
That had much more of the cowboy feel. That had much more of the homesteads and homestead communities, things like that, than this does.
Right. So,
yeah. I'm not quite, I agree with you, I'm not quite there yet with this show as far as if they want to portray it as a Western.
But I think that they really, to me, it felt like they thought they had really hit that. And yeah. I guess that's where I felt like that was a miss. Like, unless it's supposed to be developed more through the next few episodes, I don't think they got there at all.
Well, not only that.
I mean, even like Serenity or something like that, where it's
That stuff has been done to death.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, why does it need to be there?
And they didn't do as good a job as other people have done on that.
Yep.
And that's why it didn't stick. I agree with you. I mean, I don't think they were trying to do anything but that, but it's been done a lot, and if you want to do something that's been done a lot, you got to do it in a little bit of original way, or you got to do a really damn good job of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't do either. I was still scratching my head why they're getting all these 100-year-old farming implements when they're all over the place.
Yeah.
You got John Deere's and shit everywhere, and they're still making gas.
Right.
Like, well, not only that. Who are they making the gas?
You know us. I mean, driving through North Carolina and Virginia, how many times do you see old farming implements sitting beside the side of the road?
Exactly. They're everywhere.
I mean, they're everywhere. That's not a hard thing to find. It's not that's not a special commodity. So, yeah, that kind of flew in the face of what I was seeing too. I agree.
What?
Hold on one second. Oh, so the spider guy actually was a tribute. Walker.
To Nicotero.
It was a Wes Craven tribute to Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Gotcha.
Do you know that one?
Yes.
I know the title. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
That's the one that they're trying to remake for Netflix now, isn't it?
Is
Scary Stories? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a collection of different stories.
Yeah, it's a collection of different short stories.
Okay. Right. So he said, okay, a bunch of spiders come out of the eye. And I was like, no, they've got to come out of the nose, come out of the mouth, and they've got to come out like the mama spider comes out. So not only is it the little ones, but then they come out of the mouth, which is very Wes Craven, My Deadly Blessing homage, the part where the spider comes out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. My miss was kind of getting back to what I was saying about my overall feel. It was not, my miss is not about this season. My miss was about this particular episode, where it really did feel like they were following a schedule, you know, of introducing people and getting everybody to get some little piece in there. You had to hear a little bit from Enid. You had to hear a little bit from Jerry. You had to hear a little bit from Eugene. Everybody had to get a little bit of something in this issue. This episode, you had to, you know, even Tara with talking to Ponytail, you know, everybody, it was almost like watching Happy Days, where everybody walking into the room has their own line, their room entrance line, and it just felt kind of weak. I don't mind just seeing the people in the background and not having them say anything.
Agreed.
Whatever, you know, they could just be mixed in the crowd, I don't care. But when you feel like you have to give each character a little bit of a scene, then it just, that to me is when the series has jumped the shark, because any show that has the actors get bigger than the characters has that happen.
And that's what it is. Yeah, it's the actors need some sort of recognition at this point.
Yes.
And it's not the fault of the actors. It's the director or whoever writers trying to make sure that they do give some sort of recognition.
Right, everybody
to the
gets
actors.
A piece. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my fault with this. It just felt like that to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree too.
As far as the plot lines and things like that, I'm willing to see what happens.
Although I wanted to see Jerry.
You wanted to see Jerry?
Yeah.
Oh, you always want to see Jerry.
He still has his big battle axe.
Exactly. That's right, boss.
And we do have some listener comments. Scott?
Yeah, Joe Johnson said, I'm feeling the premiere and love the opening animation title sequence. Do you think Dwight is going to come back in the picture to run the sanctuary? Oh, Pastor Gabriel's new look is hot.
That's a good point about Dwight.
I haven't looked or anything as far as like IMDb or anything and see if he is scheduled for any episodes for this season.
Pretty sure he is.
I think he is too.
Yeah.
I thought he was supposed to leave and never come back. Isn't that what Daryl told him to do?
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't, that never happens that way.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I could have gone either way. I mean, I wasn't sure if he would come back or not, but I certainly can see where he does come back. So,
he would
could
be
he
perfect.
Be the leader of the sanctuary, or could he come back in some other capacity that's with the Whisperers or something? God. I don't know anything about the Whisperers, so I wouldn't know what to tell you on that.
Yeah. I think he'd be good with the sanctuary because he's the one, like, he is one of the top dogs that went against Negan, and he could show the people, like, you know, the error of their ways.
But is he too broken down as far as an image? I mean, is he too, you know, he never, you know, while he was one of the lieutenants for Negan, he never seemed like he was a guy that inspired anybody.
Yeah, but it's been a year and a half and he's been off on his own since then.
He probably got his wife.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. Might have listened to some self-help podcasts, some audiobooks.
Could be.
Done a lot of
little
soul
Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Yeah, feeling like I'm me and I should be loved.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I have power, hear me roar.
By the way, he did find his wife.
How do you know?
They would not have shown the letter and so forth at the end if he doesn't find her.
Oh, whatever. You can speculate
dead.
All you want. All right, go, Stuart.
Paige Vaughn said, well, even though I fell off last season of TWD, I figured out I kept up with what was happening enough to just watch season 9 without watching season 8. LOL. My motivation was that I didn't want to miss out on your podcast every week, and that Ryan Hurst is going to be on the season. That's nice. Okay, cool.
Very nice.
So I'm watching last night's episode, and who do I see but Zach McGowan? Who the hell is that? I had a little fangirl freak out and decided I'm in for this season. Basically, just wanted to tell you all I'm back in for season 9.
Nice,
well, thank
Paige.
You, Paige. I appreciate that.
Oh my God.
I'm glad our podcast means enough.
Who is Zach McGowan?
That's a very familiar name, but I don't know who the hell it is.
He's an actor that was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
Black Sails. That's
okay, no. So I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What character was he?
Anton.
I'm assuming a really hot one.
Anton Ivanov, the superior.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
Yep. He was also the one... He was in the 100. Isn't that the one that... Alicia Debnam Carter's in?
I never saw it. Sorry.
Anyways, that's it.
You know what? I could care less who Zach McGowan is. I'm just glad Paige is excited about our podcast.
Nice. Well, I'm happy that Paige is happy, so that's what I'm happy about.
It's all
about what I'm happy about.
That's true. If Scott is happy, everyone is happy.
If Scott's happy that Paige is happy, then we're all happy.
Yes.
Happy times.
Okay. We got a private message from Cindy from Columbus, Ohio, and she wrote quite a lengthy review, I guess, of this episode, but I'm only going to read a little part. She said she thought the premiere was good, but not great. I'm glad the show is back, but it was like watching a normal episode that just so happened to be 90 minutes.
Yes.
I totally agree with you, Cindy. But don't get me wrong, I loved seeing all my favorite characters, how they were doing, where they were in their lives. Very happy about the Carol and Ezekiel pairing. They are more believable than Rick and Michonne. I also agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm very glad Gregory finally got what was coming to him, and Laura Cohen was awesome. Maggie is right. The Hilltop can't keep helping the Saviors if they are not going to be doing their share. Michonne is right. There needs to be some type of law or governing system set up with consequences. So the setup for the conflict this season looks promising. I just hope they don't drop the ball because I really do love the show. So that's a good point. I think that,
she's right. They did lay out some promising angles. I do think trying to figure out how to knit the communities together is going to be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. I mean, Tough Guy Maggie is going to be hard to bring into the fold on some of this stuff. And just the kind of restlessness that is Sanctuary right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I think Michonne's going to be biting off more than she can handle with trying to do a charter for all three communities.
I agree.
And yeah, that whole thing is going to be our conflict until some major big bad comes.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm not very excited about seeing that whole process play out.
Some of it I'm interested in.
I mean, there could be some fighting between the three of them or four of them, but I'd rather see a herd come through and they have to deal with that.
Right. Because you want the gang to be on one page dealing with one situation. Yes.
Well, I think what they're going to do is probably build up to the point that, you know, build up maybe over the next episode or two. Hopefully that's it. Yeah. That is a major conflict until they realize it's not.
And they'll go through. I think they will go through this major conflict until there is a third conflict that steps in there that unites them all again.
Yep.
But seriously, guys, how many times has The Walking Dead done this?
Where
they fracture things and then they find some conflict to bring them all back together again?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we were complaining about the Fear of the Walking Dead, where they just spread everybody around because of the storm, and then they find a way to bring them all back together again.
They've been doing it for 9 years, and they know that there is a recipe.
Yes.
You know, so they're scared to go too far outside of what that recipe is.
Well, we're calling them out on it.
Yep.
Do something different.
Agreed.
At WeHeartTWD of Twitter said, "Wow, they fit so much in a small amount of time. LOL, I loved it. Little hints to things that you had to really pay attention to. I'm wondering everyone's thoughts on the new opening credits."
I love the new opening credits.
I think it's really cool.
I don't think any one of us didn't think it was cool. I mean, when we were watching it, we were all kind of like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so. And it's something that they really needed. Well, it's a good way to start the idea of a new beginning.
Right. Yeah, I can't say that they totally needed it.
No,
exactly. Because the old one was still pretty strong.
Yes.
But this one visually is stunning, and I think it's very appropriate for the season.
And it worked well for Fear of the Walking Dead when they changed theirs up.
Except we do miss that sound effect.
We do. All right. At Devane Devane said, "I know it's wrong, but I'd be tempted to tell the children that Gabriel did not have a hall pass." "That'll keep them in bed. When Maggie didn't stab him, I was losing my sanity. Great start to the season."
Yeah, nice. Nice.
Ellen McGuire at Lovey McGuire said, "Who desecrated Glenn's gravesite?" To which New Jeff on Twitter said, "I'm guessing it was Gregory trying to blame it on the couple who lost their son."
Yes, of course.
But I don't think the gravesite was desecrated at all. It was just to get her to go over there.
Yep.
We didn't see it desecrated.
Did we actually even see it?
No. She never made it there.
No, we never saw it.
No, she got attacked before she got there.
Yeah, so I don't think it was actually desecrated. It's just what Gregory said to get her over there.
Yeah.
So Kim, do we have any news this week?
With the premiere of The Walking Dead, we always have news.
Word.
So first of all, the saddest bit of news is that Scott Wilson passed away last weekend. He played the character of Herschel, and he apparently had been battling leukemia for quite a while. And I saw him at Walker Stalker last October.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he was sick then. He certainly did not look like it, and he was his normal self and was super loving and cuddly as always.
If you look on our webpage, there's a great picture of Kim and him together at the first Walker Stalker, right?
I don't even know if that was the first one. It might have been.
I think it was the first one.
Yeah, maybe. It was a while ago. I've seen him at every single Atlanta one for the past 5 years, and I saw him in Orlando a couple years ago. He was always extremely nice to all of the volunteers and all of his fans.
You said he was actually exceptionally nice to everyone and all the cast members.
He would hang out afterwards in the bar or outside smoking his cigars. He was famous for his cigars and whiskey. And so if you just happened to walk up on him, he would hang out with you and talk.
Yeah, he didn't have a whole lot of pretensions about him. He definitely was one of the more approachable people on the show.
And he also happened to be one of the few cast members from Georgia.
Yeah, he actually was from Atlanta. Oh,
that's true. That's true. That's a big point, right? I think I forgot about that.
His mom was still alive when they started shooting The Walking Dead. And she lived in Atlanta. So he would visit her quite a bit. And I think he was really excited about coming back to Georgia to film because he was out in California. But yeah, he and his wife, Heavenly, lived in Atlanta, and she was always at the shows as well. And he was just always willing to give that extra hug or an extra picture. He was just a super nice guy. So
he had an easy smile about him, so that was always nice.
Yeah, so we will miss him, especially since Walker Stalker is coming up in a few weeks here in Atlanta. So,
well, I'm sure they'll do something big for
him. Hopefully.
I would think so.
The next thing is actually kind of a bummer for The Walking Dead. But it's telling, and that is that the ratings came out, and they have dropped a lot, like in half.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's not good. So
are we talking about from last season or just from a couple seasons ago? Or
from the premiere of last season, season 8, they had 11.5 million viewers for the season 8 premiere. This year, they had 6 million viewers.
I think they made a really bad mistake on letting or announcing Andrew Lincoln leaving.
I do too. I mean, there was really no way around it, but
well, you could keep, they've kept other stuff under wraps. You just find a way to keep it under.
Harder and harder.
Yeah.
Well, what they were actually doing was, because that news came out, they were trying to bank on the fact that by putting that out in their marketing,
right, that they would attract viewers. That would
bump the ratings.
Right. And I think they misinterpreted how that would work.
Yeah.
Most people are just saying, why am I going to go back to this? Andrew Lincoln's not going to be there anymore anyway.
Right. I'll just watch it on streaming.
They said this is the... this is horrible. This is the lowest rated episode since a single episode in season 2.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
And really? It's barely above season 1 ratings.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not good. I know it was not a big topic at work, which a lot of times it had been. So I usually have people approach me. They know I do this podcast, so they'll approach me to talk about it and so forth. I had one person come to talk to me about it.
Well, that's not good. No. But the other thing is they started that AMC premiere thing.
Yes.
Where they can show it the day before it actually airs to everyone else.
That's so stupid. Just so they can make a couple extra bucks. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $4.95 a month to pay for this thing, and you can get like a day early you can see the show, and you get a scene from the next week.
Episode.
Or the opening of the next week you can see now.
You know,
and paying that for that, I mean, come on. AMC, stop. AMC is rather pitiful in how much they're trying to grab whatever dollars they can from this franchise. I mean, that's pitiful. I'm sorry.
I agree. Anyways.
We should think about doing that.
I think you're
right. Just because, it may help us prep for the show.
Hold on, I need to...
honestly, that would probably be smart.
I think we'll talk about that one off the air.
I'm sorry. That's...
You're a bad man.
Bad.
Any more news, Kim?
Yes, I have one more. Hold on one second. I gotta find it. Okay. The other thing is something that I actually reported on last week or the week before that, and that was that... The Walking Dead video game with Clementine in it.
Yes, was going out of business, right?
Yes, it was like hanging in the air whether it was going to be finished. And if so, who was going to do it? Because
Scott
Telltale
was going to pick it up, I think.
Yes, I was.
Telltale Games was like kaput. And they didn't have any money to pay anybody to do anything. Well, now Kirkman and Skybound Games has agreed to help out, and they're going to complete the last two episodes.
Okay. So they threw that out there as like a red herring, probably. They were hoping somebody was going to come pick them up.
Right. Well, yeah, they were.
Yeah. I mean, they were just, like, they were looking for some money.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, anyway, Kirkman's going to finish it out, and that's the end of that.
Yeah. He said we can't lose Andrew Lincoln and Clementine in the same year. I totally agree.
I was going to pick it up, but...
They got in there before you could, yeah. I know you had a call into them.
Yeah. They wouldn't let me bring Spider-Man into it.
You had big bags of cash waiting.
Think about it. Spider-Man against the Walkers.
Well, I'm just happy they're going to finish it because I like that game.
Good. All right. Next week on The Walking Dead, Season 9, Episode 2, The Bridge. The communities join forces to restore a bridge that will facilitate communication and trade. Someone is gravely injured at the construction site.
Dun, dun, dun.
Did you say gravely injured?
Gravely injured. Yeah, evidently the dude with the long hair is not a popular fella. Which they introduced to us this week.
Oh, okay.
Scarecrow guy?
Oh.
Mm, yeah.
I don't even know. Because
I think
what
we saw
like.
On the previews for next week, he's like getting somebody in trouble on the bridge.
Oh.
So
he's a savior guy, right?
Yeah, and he's probably not going to be around much longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another red shirt. Lots
the river,
of red shirts.
The river may run through him.
Yeah. Was that the river that was running like so freaking fast?
That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
That really was. I mean, that was, you know, I don't know. I imagine it was real, even. But if it was CGI, it was a pretty damn good job.
Yes.
I do not remember the river.
When they're like, oh, we can't go over this bridge, and the water was flying through there, it's like, wow, there must have been like a typhoon nearby.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that was a lot of water. And if you're thinking about getting down in there and trying to fix that, you better have a lot of saviors.
Well, I think we've, you know, based on the hurricane stuff recently, we see what can happen to the rivers. So.
Yeah.
Saviors are going to be like ants. They just like make a bridge out of people.
Maybe it's like the hurricane from Fear of the Walking Dead came through and did that.
Maybe.
Huh. Possibly.
Except no, I'm really just kidding. I would say that's quite a lot of bullshit. But
yes. There might be some of the walkers that were floating down the river from Fear the Walking Dead.
John Dory's hat will show up.
I came from Texas.
That's how they get back.
I just blew in from the coast. All right.
All right. If you guys want to write to us, you can write us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @fearmepodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.